Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
And I'm Ash Riot.
And as I was listening to our intro song, which is Spun Sun by our band Hologram, I was thinking most people, if they don't know who we are or they're just tuning in, probably think the show is called Spun Sun of Everyone.
That's true.
And most people are probably going, what the heck does that mean?
Yeah, they're probably looking for the Spun Sun show.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the Spun Sun, a.k.a. Hologram Radio Show.
Yeah.
So today we are live. It is Sunday, March the 9th. And we're coming to you live. Our last show, we broadcast a repeat because Ash was not doing too well.
I had to have surgery. It sucked.
Yeah, she's been recuperating the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. From an emergency, unforeseen surgery.
I hated it. And I had to miss 2 weeks of teaching, 2 weeks of work. So, yeah, it was not time to do a show.
No. Well, I could have done the Hologram Radio Show by myself.
Yeah.
But then I would definitely miss you very much. And I'm sure everyone else would miss you too.
Thanks.
Because what's Hologram without the both of us, really?
Well, that's true.
Just like Girl Grooves.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
We're a team.
Mm-hmm.
And so welcome to our show tonight. Tonight's topic is called The Spiritual Riot Girl. Riot Girl. Three R's, not two. I mistakenly put two. And there is a difference. Tell us the difference between two R's and three, Ash.
Oh, I don't remember. But I don't even really know. It's just it's how it goes, because I guess it just emphasis on the we're not going to take it, kind of.
Yeah, like grrr.
And plus, I mean, if it's just like G-R-R-L, it kind of looks like you just made a typo with girl.
I guess that's true. I also think that it's also just replacing the four letters. That's kind of how I see it. But yeah, it does actually look like a typo. You're right. Yeah. I'm going to read you the blurb. For those of you who aren't aware of what the show is and how we advertise it, I will read this. As female musicians, mystics, and goddess warriors, both Cheryl and Ash resonate with the importance of our collective sacred female fierceness in bringing about our return to balance, which we understand to be absolutely essential for this planet's salvation. The Riot Girl movement was and continues to be a musical movement initially made by a small group of female musicians in the 1990s as their stand in crying out the injustice and imperfection of the imbalanced world of music, with the masculine being far too dominant within its sphere and focus. And we believe the same is true for our collective world, within our spirituality. In order for us to return to the knowledge that this world is sacred and holy in its totality and is currently in great danger, we must address this imbalance and rectify it with our individual sacred activism. And then there's a quote by Andrew Harvey, who has also identified himself as a mystic. And this is, the formula for a new humanity in mystical terms is the same as the formula for the creation of the atom bomb. So that's pretty heavy. New humanity.
Yeah.
So what we're really focusing on this, because we have done shows in the past on the divine feminine. We've also done the divine masculine. It's not about taking out the masculine. It's about coming back to balance. And we've talked about this. It's come up as issues in other shows, too, just about the balance of masculine and feminine energies, not only within ourselves, but within our collective consciousness. So this really is focusing on the fierceness.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, instead of just being kind of the docile female, you know, who's known for being nurturing and all loving and kind and giving and generous, and it's not negating that, but it's also, we're addressing today the necessity for the fierceness in this and also the necessity for sacred activism. And a lot of times, this is why I said, you know, we identify as goddess warriors. I think a lot of times we're expected, especially in the spiritual movement or when someone even addresses you as a spiritual person, mostly it's almost the expectation around just being very quiet, serene, turning the other cheek consistently and constantly. And I do think that that's part of it, but it's not the way that it's all supposed to be. That's my understanding. So this is what we want to talk about in our show today. For those of you listening, women, we invite your comments just as a woman walking a spiritual path, feeling a connection to this earth, feeling a connection in terms of why you're here to
any
bring your femininity.
Anyone who identifies as woman, any gender,
even men, trans,
whatever you identify as, call in and share your feminine perspective,
because the feminine is a part of each and every one of us, and it is essential, as I said, to sort of bring back that feminine balance so that we can bring this world completely back to balance. And it's going to take a bit of fierceness on our part.
Yeah, it definitely will. I think too often we're just sitting there as a, let's just say, collective, kind of only letting a few really fierce, really activism-centered people take a role. It's kind of like, you know, when you know that you're at a party or something and you got to quickly clean up or something, and you know that there's going to be like two or three people who are going to do it. Well, that's kind of what we've done spiritually for a long, long time, that we just really let things go. We spend time loosely having a, let's say, personal belief. Everybody has one, but there's not a lot of real fierceness that I've seen besides being negatively fierce.
Yes.
And there's not often times where we can classify being fierce as being positive. And I think that's, you know, that those days should be gone. When you think of real radical behavior, I mean, you think of, you know, a lot of terrorism, you think of a lot of, I mean, radical behavior. I was watching something the other day and it was like all about the radical behavior in America, and it was all about like the Phelps and that horrible church and the Westboro Baptist Church and things like that. And I mean, I've definitely seen different movies and read a lot of zines and things like that that are very, very, very positively fierce, very positively in it for change for the better, not change to prove a point that you're right, but change to see a collective become more positive than negative. And you don't see that too often. And that's, to me, that's what this show is about. It's wanting to use your strength for the betterment of not just how people think of you, but that could be zero. Like, what I'm talking about is having that not even be even a small sect of why you're doing what you're doing. Like, you know, like a lot of people want to be famous because they're going to get the girl or they're going to get the money or whatever.
Or the attention.
But using this fierceness, using this power, using the feminine strength to better everything around you and everyone around you, not for glory, not for anything. And that's what spiritual activism, spiritual Riot Girl means to me. And it has nothing, it has zero to do with religion. Zero. Because to me, religion sucks.
And we've made that very clear with our
broadcast.
We've
made that very clear.
And it's not to intentionally cause any kind of harm to anybody who is devoutly adhering to a religion. It's just about making a very bold, fierce statement that we feel very strongly about as part of the necessity of getting out of the danger that this universe, or this world, I won't say universe, that this particular world is in, not heading towards, it's in. With regards to its mindset, with regards to its collective consciousness, with regards to outdated belief systems that no longer serve, yet people are just clinging to them for dear life. For what reason? Nothing other than fear. And so we've got to kind of be able to let go of the fear, trust that everything's going to be okay on the other side of it. If we're you know, needing to let go of something that we've been raised with for our entire lives, or even generationally, it's been in our family, as not being truth. Mm-hmm. Having that faith and trust that letting go of it won't destroy us. Letting go of us won't allow us to, won't take away from our definition of ourselves. I think a lot of us want to cling to certain things because it helps us, or we believe it helps us to define who we are. And I think it's the separation and the fierceness that we're talking about for everyone, for all of us collectively here on this planet, because of the imbalance of the masculine and the feminine. We've been far too leaning on the side of the patriarchal system in everything, whether it's government or whether it's religion and whatnot. And bringing it back, you know, being fierce about our femininity, including the men. It's not just about women. This is not feminism. This is separate. What we're talking about is completely separate from feminism, yet it can also be married to feminism in certain ways, depending on how you look at it or how you debate it, if you will.
But you could even take that completely out of it. You could take the male-female completely out of it and almost take it to that place of yin and yang, the complete merriment of two sides. You could even make it black and white. You could make it.
Yeah, you can call it by a different name.
Exactly.
But whatever it is, it's just embracing something. It's like a formula. What spurred this on for me, this whole idea, was I actually listened to Andrew Harvey do a seminar recently about his passion for the world, about his passion in sharing what Christ's true message was and is, as opposed to how the church overtook that, and basically there was defamation to Christ because the church took over and changed the original message to kind of suit the church. But he was talking about this very much. He was talking about how imperative it is that we collectively are working towards something, because this goes above and beyond individualism. This is no longer about me. This is very, very, very much about we. And each of us are kind of, I think we tend to be a little bit kind of sidetracked or diverted in some way by our very culture. We get caught up in things, and I'm guilty of this too. We get caught up in paying the bills, how to pay the bills, how to do this, how to do that. And we forget that it goes above and beyond this. This consciousness is not so much about getting sidetracked. It's not so much about feeling that we have to look after number one, meaning ourselves. It's having that faith and trust that when we actually start stepping outside of ourselves, looking to others, how we can help, not only communally, but also worldly, in what way can we contribute to the change and shift from danger to preservation? Because we all know, you look at just around you, there is very, very many injustices that continue. War continues. People continue to cause great harm to each other, to others, to children, to animals. So we're not living in a peaceful world. We're not living in a world that is truly safe in the essence of what safety means, in terms of feeling secure, feeling loved, feeling that you can be who you are without judgment, without wrath, without, you know, there's people in our culture who are stigmatized. There are people that still are, there's a lot of prejudice still towards certain people, genders, colors, sexuality, you know, whatever their origin of sexuality is, or whether they're trans, or, we are still very, very behind the eight ball, so to say. So how can we together, how can we look at this as opposed to as a me, what do I need to do for myself? How can we kind of integrate what am I needing to do for all people, for humanity? And I think that that's part of this fierceness we're talking about, is being fierce instead of being lackadaisical, instead of, you know, for me, quite honestly, there's times, because I'm so sensitive, and there are many people that are ultra sensitive that have actually chosen to leave this earth in suicide. There's been a lot of suicides in my life, throughout my life, but even recently I'm hearing of a lot of suicides. I think what it is that people are so sensitive to the energies that are going on that they just, as a sensitive soul, it's just too much. Mm-hmm. And they don't feel that there's anything else that they can do other than just leave. And I don't certainly want to go to that place, because I know that there's a reason why I'm still here. And it's not that I haven't had points in my life where I go, what am I doing here? Like, what is the value of this life? If I look around me and I see what I construe to be hatred and maligning and injustice and just these darknesses within people, when people choose to exercise their darker parts as opposed to their lighter parts, it really does affect me. And there's times when I can actually energetically feel the world, when there's world tragedies and whatnot, like I feel it. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult and very challenging at those times to bring myself around and come back to a positive place, to believe that this world is meant to be saved, to have that belief that, you know what, and I'm talking saved salvation almost as if I'm a preacher, but I'm not. This is about just all of our salvation from feeling that lack of safety, feeling that fear, that constant fear kind of gnawing at your feet, feeling that you don't even live in a world that has no war, that you can't have true trust in all. Having that sense, going from there to feeling a sense of peace, a sense of tranquility, a sense of well-being, a sense of safety. And this is what I think most of us just want. I think for the most part, I won't say all of us, because I know that people are quite happy to indulge some of the darker places because they suffer from a sense of powerlessness. So they think that power means causing harm or power means overtaking others. That's just a distorted viewpoint. But I do know that each of us value to be valued. I do know that each of us, doesn't matter whether you are construed as someone who is harmful to society or who is beneficial to society, at the heart of each and every one of us is the desire to be loved, the desire to love, the desire to have value, the desire to be appreciated and to have meaning. And I think that if we all start kind of focusing on this and not being complacent, because I know that I get complacent because there's a part of me that just feels uninspired, but I have to, you know, get myself inspired again and go, come on, there's a reason why you're still here. It is really about the we, not the me. And the we means being fierce about it. The we means facing being ostracized. The we means having someone tell you you're crazy. The we means having someone pull away from you because they can't even face themselves. And if that's what it means, it's okay. Because it's really just about taking that stand in love, for truth, for love. And we do it in terms of our art, but we also have to do it in terms of our life, which is our ultimate art, is the lives that we create. Each of us are artists of our own lives. So we're just asking you to kind of take a look, as we are, to what it is that means embracing the feminine side of yourselves. You're not going to negate the masculine. I have so much masculine in me because it's just part of who I've been always. And I've addressed the masculine energy that's within me. And I've also been addressing lately the feminine energy that's within me even more so. Because I identify as female doesn't mean that naturally makes me super feminine. I mean, because we are all parts of both. And I feel strongly that it's imperative for each of us to fiercely defend that which is coming from truth, that which is coming from the highest part of ourselves. And I do believe it's for the highest good of all. This is not about individualism. This is about collectivism. And I think it's kind of, that's part of where we're shifting. We're shifting to understanding how connected we truly are, understanding how one, any of our actions will always cause a ripple effect, whether it's a negative or a positive effect. Whatever we do will cause a ripple. When we're actually mindful of all that we do, all that we say, I think it's imperative for us to be mindful. But I also say, don't get too caught up in that, because then it can lead to self-abuse. Because, you know, if you overanalyze yourself, then that's sort of on the other side of, be careful, bring the balance in, because it's about honoring yourself first too. So this isn't about getting rid of you and going for the collective. This is about honoring yourself first and then sharing that and going after the collective good.
I think that's really important, because if we, like, you know, the what you just said about, I'm trying to find a good way to say it. Like, you know how if you're really obsessed about what people are saying, or you're obsessing too much over just hype, I'll just use the word hype, that can really distract you from your own path. Like, I've found before in my life when I have paid too much attention to either what people are saying about me, what they're saying about my art, what they're saying about just whatever I'm doing in general, if I pay too much attention to that, it almost causes me, like I would, but I don't, alter what I'm, what I want to do, alter what I'm believing. And it's not that someone is, you know, forcing me to do that or asking me to do that. It's just about second guessing. And there's a lot of times in a lot of situations, a lot of people, a lot of different groups, a lot of even different music. I think there's a really good thing when some kind of medium can make you reassess what you're thinking. But what's not good is when you're second-guessing yourself to the point where it's affecting your goal, it's affecting your progress. And that's happened a lot with me, and that's how I can really identify to having to take a stand, to having to put just a little bit more effort and strength into even what we're doing as a band, what we're doing as, you know, revolutionaries in a way. And every single person out there is a revolutionary. Even if they don't take a stand to it, even if they don't ever do anything, even if they stay in their in their room or whatever, their house for their entire life, don't talk to anybody, you're still going to have ideas that make that, you know, you were saying about the we. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of times we're not sharing enough to turn anything into we, but that's okay. Because you can obviously be a part of something, even if your voice isn't being included in the chorus. Because you're still feeling something. You're still energetically putting something forward. And I think that that's important, too. I think it's important for everybody to feel that it's okay that they can step up or not step up, but they can support.
I like that you brought that in about not appearing to be doing anything. Because
yeah.
I think we're such a culture that focuses on the doing, and everyone's so busy being busy doing, most people spinning their own wheels. Not a lot is being done, but we have this sense that we must be busy to be viable. We must be doing to be viable. And the doing doesn't have to be a physical doing. We can be doing with our thoughts, and you brought that up. It's true. We are energetic. We are energy. Thoughts are energy.
Mm-hmm.
Will Smith did a video, if any of you can find it, on YouTube, where he talked about thoughts being alive. Think of a thought like you would think of a coffee table, that it has that much matter, that it has that much ability of being. We kind of dismiss our thoughts as, well, they're just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has nothing, no merit, no value. It's just a thought. But if we were to sort of take a look at our thoughts, and I'm not talking about the ones that pop in our head, I'm talking about the ones that we actually entertain,
mm-hmm.
as becoming living, viable things, just as much as your television set is in front of you or your guitar in your hand, then we might even recognize and get and give strength and give proper acknowledgement to the power of our thoughts and the power that we are energetically.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep coming back to the fierceness of the feminine because we're talking about that. Now, the Riot Girl movement, the reason why that came up for me in terms of giving this topic and identity,
tying it in,
because if you don't know about the Riot Girl movement, those of you who are listening, I would suggest that you give it some research, because it's actually quite powerful. It started, did it not start in Washington?
Yeah, it did, and it quickly became very prominent. You know, there was a lot of zines focusing on Riot Girl, a lot of music. There was a Riot Girl manifesto where a lot of girls just really felt that they had enough. They were going to, you know, punk rock shows and things like that, and they had no place. You know, they were just there to hold the coats of the guys and things like that. And that just really became oppressive. And it was oppressive since day one, the fact that, you know, a girl can't feel safe at a concert. A girl can't feel safe, you know, doing different activities, that they should very, very much be safe. They should be very equal to you know, those who identify as men. And I really took to that quite early. From the time I was about 12, I got into a lot of different bands that were very much in the scene, like Bikini Kill and lots, Bratmobile, a lot of different really great, very, very empowering women that, you know, in their way really took the music scene, a big part of the literary scene, and just ran with it and didn't give a shit what anyone said, what anyone did. It was about their feminine empowerment over anything. And sometimes your ideals do have to take a front seat, you know, against personalities and against your friends. And they really, so many women really, really did more than justice to the scene. And it's making a really, really big resurgence as well. So I think that there's a reason for that.
Well, there is. And I think it's because, even again, collectively, consciously, we're all recognizing the importance of bringing balance and bringing in the feminine, mm-hmm. in a very strong and fierce way, focusing on the femininity aspect of our spirits and of our culture.
And we also want to give you the call-in number. We welcome your calls. We welcome your comments. And please call in at 888-627-6008. That is 888-627-6008. Call in. If you call in, we will, of course, love to take any of your questions. If you want to call in, even if you dig our music, just call in and give us your name, give us your email, and we'll send you a free MP3 of one of our songs, one of our latest singles.
But we can't send it if we don't get your info.
Yeah, we need your info.
So please message us your info either via Facebook on our Hologram music page, or you can email us at info@hologram. What is it?
Oh, I don't even remember that one. Hologrammusic@live.com?
Yeah, hologrammusic@live.com. I was giving our web page one. Yeah, so try hologrammusic@live.com.
Yeah, just find us, whatever. Find us anyway. Even, you know, if all else fails, just email the radio station. They'll give you one of our emails.
Yeah, for sure, because we definitely want to share our music with you. And
so, yes,
we want you to share your ideas with us, because this is about the we. Wanted to bring up, while we're waiting for people to decide if they want to call us or not, I wanted to bring up something that happened on my Facebook page to do with this particular subject, with regards to the idea of feminism and men in feminism. And I got to find myself here.
She's finding herself.
Finding myself on Facebook, because I got to look at the comment that was made. You can chat while I find myself.
I'm chatting. Hey, we're just gonna trying to talk find about myself. Random things. I'm going to sell my phone and get.
She has Flappy Bird.
I have Flappy Bird, and I'm gonna sell my phone because apparently there's tons and tons and tons of people who are just paying like a grand, like $600 for an iPhone with Flappy Bird, the original version.
I have Flappy Bird.
We both have Flappy Bird.
But actually, it's not. You know what? We both have the improved version.
Yeah, I know. I heard.
So isn't that even better?
It is. So you want my phone? Let me know.
So I had posted a picture on Facebook that came from a group page called Our Time. And it had a picture of a gentleman holding a sign that says, "Real men support women's rights." And the comment by Our Time was, "You don't have to be a woman to be a feminist." And it said, "Like, if you agree." And I liked it. And then I had a fellow respond, and I won't say who it is. If you're listening and you want me to say who it is, I'm happy to, but just for your own confidentiality, who said, "Unfortunately, this argument is fallacious, but I do think all of us should support rights for all." And fallacious has to do with something that is doesn't have kind of standing. I'm going from my own personal definition. I'm not reading from a definition of a dictionary, but basically fallacious is, well, fallacy is untruth, right? So it's kind of like coming from a place of not having anything, whether it's true or not. It has the platform of not really resonating in terms of truth. It's kind of not really having any merit. Let's just sort of say that. Now, my response was, what argument is fallacious here? Because I do agree, all human rights must not only be supported, but also defended. I invited him to listen to the show because I wanted him to respond. I think it's imperative. I think what he took offense to was the idea that real men support women's rights. Now, that is a bit loose. Remember when we had the real men eat quiche thing go on many years ago? There was something you wouldn't remember, but there was this real men eat quiche. And I think it came from a book. But of course, you know, when we're kind of defining what it means to be a real man or a real woman, we can easily get offended. And I don't think that we need to get offended. But his response to that was, his sign is an exact example of new truth, of the no true Scotman fallacy, which he sent me a link to. It suggests that one cannot be a real man without supporting women's rights. What exactly is a real man, and who gets to define what that is? This guy, society, each individual's? And I thought that was a great question. And I didn't respond to him. I just liked it because I thought that's exactly true. We each need to ask these questions for ourselves. I think it's imperative that we ask, a man asks himself, what does it mean to be a real man? Is there such a thing as a real man? What makes a woman a real woman? Is there such a thing? And this is where we're trying to find ourselves in the definitions that are thrown at us, whether it's through our educational system or through our parenting or through our peers. We're all just grasping at trying to find ourselves within all of this. And what I'm saying with this topic and addressing the masculine and the feminine, whether you want to call it feminism or masculinism, I don't know what you want to do with it, but bringing everything, it's all, I'm just going to say this again, it's all about balance. And oftentimes people will not, fierceness is equated with passion. Let me just say that. So when I'm passionate about my music, I'm inspired. I'm passionate about what it is that I'm saying. When I sing, I'm passionate. I think that it's important that we see that the fierceness that we need to be and to have and to express is equated with our passion. So let's get passionate about making this world a really wonderful place. Let's get passionate about saving it in any way that we can, whether it's saving our forests or our environment or animals, our children from being trafficked, our fellow, you know, people from our fellow human beings, whether they're on the other side of the country, animals. Yes. So we have
Ash's mom on line one.
Hit it, Doug.
It's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom. It's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom. It's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom.
Hey, Ash's mom, Janice. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Ash's mom.
No.
We hear you.
Can you hear us?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, I just got in the door. Ask me anything.
What's 43 times 444?
There you go.
Oh, nothing like that. just words of wisdom.
Good. So have you? So you just got in the door, and now you're going to listen to the rest of the show. Do you have anything to say?
Well, I didn't hear the show. That's why I'm saying ask me anything. Because I just got in the door, right?
I picked up on that. Well, this show tonight.
What's that?
This show, yes. What I would like to ask you, Ash's mom,
yes.
If anyone is wondering, that's my mother. And
yes.
What I would like to ask you is, in your experience, let's say even in the 60s, the 70s, did you notice any point that there was a dramatic shift in the way women were treated, let's say, in the music business, in the, well, even in, like, in school and anything? Did you see, did you live to see a shift?
Yes.
And
I
when
did.
Was that, when was that mostly?
Well, the 60s, I was very, very young in the 60s. So I didn't notice much going around. In 61, I was in grade one, so I didn't really care, But, no, I didn't. You know, you just want to play outside and, you know, have fun. But when I noticed was when I was in junior high, I started to notice little things, and that was, you know, the flower power and Woodstock and all those things that started happening. And you know, it was very different than it is now, because then it was almost like people were going, like the women were going crazy then. Like they were, because of the age of Aquarius and everything, and they're dancing topless and they're, you know, just being really free people. And they were just going into it like in the hippie days, right? And then it started to evolve again, and that's when women started to fight for their rights, and they were listened to. That was the next stage. And then, like, it's just been an evolution ongoing, I think, since the 60s, the 50s. You know, women didn't have to stay home and look after the kids. They had a choice. They could work if they wanted. They could go to school if they wanted. They could be anything that any man could be. But that didn't happen in the 50s. Like, you know, the woman was, you know, to stay home and wear her makeup and her apron and a dress and everything else and have the meal on the table. That was the 50s. And look after the kids. But in the 70s, that's when I noticed, late 60s, early 70s, and everything started to change. Music started to change.
So do you think we'll start to see more of a shift spiritually for women?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, it's happening now. It's happening now that there's this a spiritual shift for women going on.
Have you seen anything in particular, or can give us some examples that, because I mean, it helps to ask somebody who's not a part of the music scene. Well, you've been there for me through the music scene, but you know, somebody mm-hmm. who's not really, you know, at work in the spiritual community, but somebody who can observe it. That's you.
Mm-hmm. Well, the shift that I find that's going on is that there's more, I don't know, women, like, you know, before they were saying, like, you know, women, you know, equality with men, and they were saying that, but they were still fighting for it. And now I don't think that they're fighting as hard because the laws are changing. Like, there's different laws that are changing, and where women are having more rights, that they're still fighting, they'll continue to fight, and men will continue to fight their stance. But now, like, the laws are changing. Women are changing different laws where, you know, like equal pay for equal, you know, the equal kind of job that you're doing, that women can be, like, they're still fighting to get into the firefighters, police, there's women, and like the RCMP. But see, they're still fighting because there's still abuses and harassments going on. But women aren't as afraid nowadays to speak up. That's what I'm noticing.
Well, that's really good because I know I've even seen in the news and stuff things like police women being abused by their, you know, fellow cops and things like that. And I think that as more women speak up and as more men get on board with actually believing that there is more than, you know, enough equality to go around, that then even spiritually and within, you know, religion and non-religion, there will be a way for women to have not just voices, but to have voices that are as loud as, let's just say, you know, men.
So shifting from you know, you take a look at even our religious leaders and our gurus, they've been men for the most part. And so shifting even that in terms of our spirituality, in terms of how we view God, from the masculine to the feminine. And so our show, Janice, for What You Missed, we've been talking about the fierceness that is necessary for the femininity to come in, for the feminine to bring balance. So as women, how do we do that? How do we become fierce so that we can bring back this balance?
Well, I think there has to be unity amongst women because
that's a good point.
Like I was saying, like with the firefighters and women in the police that are being harassed, and they're going to the media. They're going to the media because when they go to the media, then they have all these people, you know, that are backing them, all these women that aren't firefighters, all these women that aren't policemen, and they're out there and they're backing these people. And, you know, I think it's not just women backing women, it's men backing women as well.
Well, that's really important because I know that for a fact that even in the music scene, women are not always kind to women.
No.
There's like a fight. And I remember a quote from Tori Amos, and she said that what women do to each other is comparable to Chinese nail torture. And it's true. Yeah. Women will bite each other's jugulars. And that's where it has to stop. There's enough room for success all the way around for all women.
Speaking of which, look at Courtney Love.
Yeah.
There you go. Typical.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
I hope you're listening, Courtney Love.
That would actually be quite good and quite bad.
Yeah, No. I'd be ready for her to show up at my door any day.
So Janice, just so our listeners understand, what is it that you mean when you say look at Courtney Love?
Well, she's this is a woman that I mean, yes, she has what do they call that? Shoot spa or whatever it is. She's got the she doesn't care. Yeah, that's the one. That too. But you know, she I don't care for her as a person or as a human being and how she treats people. But she's one that just doesn't care what anybody thinks. And she does. She's just a very rough person that will go after other female entertainers because she can. That's what it is, because she can.
I think it's because she believes, and by her actions, we've seen them quite openly. And this isn't trying to judge Courtney Love. It's just sort of taking an example of a person who's in the public eye, who makes her actions very well known, of how she really doesn't have a lot of respect for other women or for other people.
But she takes survivalism.
Exactly.
Like, I'll give her this. She is insanely talented in certain ways, and I've seen that talent. But she is also way too concerned about survivalism, where in ways that she's had to do that before, it's like she's just clutching her gun almost, and she doesn't really need to.
Because as I said earlier in the program, some of us are hanging on for dear life to old belief systems or old, you know, mental tapes. And I think she would be a good example of that. And I think all of us have to kind of take a look at ourselves and see, how can we, for example, with women, I mean, I feel very strongly. I've had some really close female friendships, and I've been in the business, the entertainment business, since I was a teenager, not only in music, but also in modeling and in acting and all different things. And it's a very competitive business. And so I think the perception is that you have to take everyone else down with you. And I think women generally don't feel that they can trust other women. I think most women see other women as threats. And I think it's imperative that each of us just look at each other, look at the other women, build a trust relationship with them. Don't think they're all out to get what we want or what we have. And then when we band together, then we will really truly have that strength.
That's true.
But we have to work on our individual relationships with each other, women. I really believe that.
I know, but... The reality of it is that, I don't know, it's just, I don't know whether women are more protective of, like, you know, women are so protective of their young, you know what I mean? Like, it's like in animals and people and stuff, that maybe we have that killer instinct, you know what I mean? Like the female lion and, you know, the mama bear and that, you know, we're very territorial.
That's true. That's just the way we are. And what's
very
great about
territorial.
Women being, what's great about women being territorial is that it gives them enough passion to fight for what they want. And by fighting, I don't mean war. I mean actually not taking no for an answer.
Yes, that's exactly it. But we're territorial, like by nature. And it's, you know, I mean, some people are more, some women are more, I don't know, they're more protective of, even if they don't have children, they're just protective of everything around them and what they have. And, you know, they're trying to protect, you know, like even if it's like a girlfriend and her boyfriend, you know, as teenagers, again, the girl is very territorial. You know, she's watching all the time, making sure that, you know, he doesn't make eye contact with somebody else, and she's afraid of losing him. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, that has to change. That has to change.
Well, I think being territorial out of fear has to change. I think that being territorial out of, you know, out of passion and out of just necessity, not fear, is really important.
Yes, it is.
So that comes back to us having the ultimate faith and trust in our own paths, that, you know, you don't have to worry about your boyfriend wandering off with your girlfriend, because if he does, it wasn't meant to be anyway. Don't be too, like, don't try and cling too much. Let go a little bit, surrender a little bit, have a little more faith, have a little more trust in the bigger picture. And just, I really do strongly believe in that women, it's the onus is on us as women to have more faith and trust in each other, to build more networks with each other, to have a camaraderie as opposed to a sense of rivalry. And I think that that's imperative. Mm. I think it really is important that we do that. And I'm speaking to myself as I am to all women who are listening. And it's okay too. There's some women that you're going to gravitate towards and some that you don't. That's all right. That's, again, having a bit of faith and trust in your path and their path. And it's all just going to work out. But I think we have to relinquish a little bit of control and be okay. Be okay with surrender. Be okay with letting go. And be okay that we do feel that we will be okay on the other side of it. And I appreciate that you called in, that you shared that with us, Janice. And you did definitely lend to the show, even if you haven't listened.
Yes, you did.
Prior.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
I love you guys.
We love you.
I will talk to you soon.
Okay, bye, Janice. Thank you. And now we're just going to say bye. We're just going to take a short break for our commercial.
Girl Grooves, your Greater Vancouver and Whistler, BC area's premier female DJ duo. Let professional musicians and DJs Ash Ryan and Cheryl Catherine Smith bring their combined skills and musical expertise to your corporate, wedding, graduation, reunion, birthday party, anniversary, or any special occasion to ensure your event's complete success. Many have raved about their unique and fun-filled Name That Tune show, too. Log on to www.girlgroups.com for more information on how Girl Groups can help you make some marvelous memories. Girl Groups, music really is their lives.
And that's true. Music really is our lives. We spend a lot of our lives listening to it, creating it.
Our entire life is either making mixtapes, making songs, songwriting, recording our songs, promoting our songs, and doing a radio show. And I'm teaching kids songs.
That's right. You're a teacher, a music teacher. Yeah. You're passionate
about
music.
Which I haven't
music.
Been able to do in 2 weeks.
Because of your surgery.
But I'm going back to work tomorrow.
Yeah, hooray.
Yay.
I also want to mention, we have put it out there in the past. We didn't this show, but you are free to Twitter us. We are called Hologram Music, all one word on Twitter. And I want to mention that Woody's alter ego just tweeted at Cheryl Catherine, at Ride-A-Go-Go, passion is why your music is so good. It's evident in all aspects of it. End result equals chills.
Ooh,
that's
thank
so nice.
You.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we appreciate you very much. We appreciate all of you. And we appreciate you listening, taking the time to come with us on this journey of not only self-exploration, but how do we find our place in this world and our place with each other. And that's sort of what this Hologram Radio Show is all about. We are exploring ourselves and asking you to do the same. And we want to kiss trees and love life and love each other. And
that's what we want to do.
And be all about peace.
And we'll be bringing you more music in the near future. We've just been so busy, like just crazy busy. And we have a few new songs that we're really looking forward to unleashing. We have one called Facade, and we have one called Let's Cry, and we're really looking forward to unleashing those.
Unleashing. That sort of makes them sound like they're wild animals.
They are.
We will unleash our songs, but you know what? We will promise that they will not hurt you.
That's true.
The Let's Cry one might make you feel like crying. That's it's definitely something that came very emotionally to us, and it's very an emotional song. So, yeah, we'll unleash those. And in the meantime, we're just hoping that Ash gets 100%. She's not there yet. But you know how it is, folks. You know, life, like John Lennon says, is what happens is to you when you're busy making other plans. And that's what happens. You got to roll with the punches. You have emergency surgery happen, and you got to put your life off for 2 weeks. You know, all the plans that we have. And sometimes it's so hard. Momentum going.
Yeah.
And you just want to go kind of raise your fist to whatever it is, the universe, and go, why?
Exactly. Sometimes it's hard to, you know, even want to get out of bed in the morning. Some days it's just there's things that you just would rather not do. But at least, you know, we can feel something every day, no matter what it is. We can, you know, make a difference in people's lives in some way, whatever way we can. And that's what's important. Like, even some days I don't feel like, you know, getting out of bed early to go and do lesson plans and to teach for 6 hours. But then I realize that those 6 hours I'm teaching to each of those kids, that means a lot. They wait all week for that.
That's right.
So if I'm just kind of like, meh, whatever, I can't treat it like that.
And isn't the new word for that meh, M-E-H?
I hate that one.
Meh, meh, meh.
I had a friend who used to say that like every day, and it just used to bug me. How are you doing? Meh. Okay, what do you want to have for dinner? Meh. Do you want to go here? Do you like this band? Meh. Like, why?
Have some kind of an answer. But yeah, you shared that, you know, you shared sometimes we don't want to do it, but all we got to do is get up, get out of bed, go to it. And once we're in it, we're loving it. We're glad we did it.
Yeah.
So pushing past our own selves at times.
Yeah, exactly.
Back to our fierceness, back to passion.
Yep, back to it all.
Honor yourself, honor what it is that you know that you're passionate about, and focus on what brings joy, what brings connection, what brings the higher parts rather than the lower parts. Because you say that we can make differences in people's lives. It works both ways. We can destroy and we can build. Mm-hmm. And we want to focus on the building and trust that you do as well if you're listening to us. And we send you our love and we send you our light.
And thank you very much for everything. We might be leaving you with one of our songs, The Fusion, if there's enough time. If not, we love you and we are very thankful to you for spending this hour with us, and we look forward to...
In 2 weeks, we're going to do another live show. I want to tell you, I haven't even told Ash this, with your permission. It's fun and frivolity, the importance of fun. A lot of times we talk about the seriousness of life.
That's true.
And so our next show, we're going to focus on fun, the importance of having fun, of being a bit frivolous, of being a little bit stupid and silly, and we're going to focus on that for next time. So in the meantime, the next 2 weeks, kiss a tree.
Kiss a tree. See you later. Have a good night.
Bye.